Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Redmen TV, Redmen Radio, Podcast 13. Chris, there's something I want to highlight to you before and just to address an issue. And I say an issue, it's not an issue. It's a misreading of things by a couple of people. One person put in the comments on my channel and someone tweeted me as well asking if you and I had fallen out because we both travelled separately to the West Ham.
Is that true?
It's true. I split because it was like you're doing your own channel and you didn't travel with Chris to the game, and Chris isn't there about. I was like, first, like you were in that video, and secondly, yeah, it was like I thought, oh, this is overly complicated to explain in either comment form or Twitter form, and I chose to, but I don't think I explained it either. But yeah, just to clarify, we're fine.
Yeah, what really happened is Dean just prefers Paul to me, Dean from Four Four Tunes, so. You know, nothing to do with Paul, but Dean, I'm hating on you right now.
You might want to watch out. Yeah, me and Dean spin off 4-4 Tunes channel. That's what
you know, the thing is, I met him in Lime Street last night on the way home. He's obviously on the same train. He was probably in first class cunt.
Probably.
He was like, I'm so sorry. I text both of you at the same time, and he replied first. I was like, I'm an arse, mate. It's fine. Like,
You're just a busier man than I am.
I am dead arse, by the way.
So, yeah, I don't know how much of the stuff that's going to come out, but the reason was Dean got me on the guest list for some event with a TV company, TV product, a company that makes TVs. Yeah, there's loads of them. It's one of them. With Gerard and Lana were there, so there might be some stuff off the back of that. There was a gaming equivalent of a bleep test that me and Dean had to partake in. It'll definitely be on 44 Tunes' channel, which I highly recommend. I can't see how we kind of come out looking good at that. But anyway, we move on. Just to clarify, though, Redmen TV is not dead. We're okay. We're as okay as we ever were. You can decide how okay that is, judging by how much passive aggression goes into this podcast. Normally, it depends on how badly we've slept, really, doesn't it?
Generally, and I've slept really badly.
You prick. Yeah. Okay, we've got a question to kick us off then, Chris. Jacob R. Jakey _ you'll never walk alone.
That's not a question. That's not a question.
It begins. Favourite final season game, moment or memory? Can be Liverpool or non-Liverpool related.
Istanbul.
That's a good point, yeah.
Last game of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you had to do, let's stick on theme and go Premier League. I've got a couple. The one that stands out for me, and it is Liverpool related, but not in the way that you'd expect.
Is it the Blackburn?
It's the Blackburn one, and it's that moment. It was like in a space of about 30 seconds where Liverpool scored, and all the Blackburn fans all got their heads in the hands, and then the news filters around that West Ham is beating Man United, and basically realize the title's done, and it's obviously people got radios in the ground, and it all gets passed around, and they go from like, oh, to and go mental celebrating. The best of that was we got to win that game, so we got to win at Anfield, and yet also Blackburn got to win the title instead of Man United. So yeah, that was a pretty good one.
It's a sorry state of affairs because I just can't remember that many of them because there's just been too many games that don't matter. And you know, that's what we've got this season, the exact opposite of that. Even, you know, how many times over the years now it's like nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
We're all standing around to give them a clap at the end.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Well, they made it their actual game.
They made it a lap of appreciation, didn't they? Not a lap of honour. because we don't do honours anymore.
Yeah, it's not good enough. This could be one of those ones. It has the potential to be one of those ones that does stand out in the memory.
Mm. Yeah, we've had a few. I mean, normally the best ones are when they're not league related. They tend to be, like you say, last season's was really good because we were sending the boys off to the Europa League final, so there was a really good atmosphere around that. And the one 13-14 was really good as well, just again because there was just so many, even though we'd not won the title, there was a real good vibe that Liverpool were on the right track, little did we know. But you're right, it's hard to think of many. We haven't had too much last day drama, you know.
We're not involved in anything.
Well, exactly. And what I want to get back to, it's been, you think about it, like the late 90s and early noughties, we were quite a lot. And it was mainly like we'd normally fuck something up on the last day and cost ourselves Champions League. But then what happened was, toward in the Rafa era, we just get the business done. I remember maybe I'm wrong, I think it was, we played Ipswich toward the back end of the season, maybe even the last game, and we just absolutely tonked them. And we just did, you know, we just went and did the business, and there's no questions asked. But you're right, it's hopefully this goes down as one of them. And we did this last week about what top four means. I'll be buzzing, I'll be elated, because I think the stress we've put in to the whole season, if we manage to do it, and we should, I think we'd be right of us to appreciate to appreciate the lap of the players.
If we make it, yeah.
If we make it. Covering it. Keeping yourself covered.
See you, mate, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm so nervous about it.
Well, actually, you know, come on. We normally save getting the bin for later on, but I think it fits in quite nicely.
But I need to put the fear in the bin, Paul.
You need to take the fear.
All of the fear. I can't take it anymore. I was talking to Arsenal fans yesterday, and they're so down in the dumps about it, and there is no reason Liverpool don't go out after the performance against West Ham and tonk Middlesbrough.
Mm.
Except I've got the fear.
Yeah.
And I can't bring myself to think that we're going to do it. Yeah. And just like, I am so nervous. I was stood outside Ball Street yesterday, like scratching my head and put my hands to my hair. And they're like, are you all right? I'm like, no.
So that's trying to recreate your Tintin haircut from the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, what's the matter? I'm like, we're 6 days out, I can't take this anymore. We're 6 days out from the game and I am stressed, something chronic about this. So someone just take the fear out of me, please.
Amazing. Wow.
I can't take it, Paul. That's honest mad. To goodness.
Like, maybe I've done myself some favours. You're right, it would be what needs to happen. Is we're going to come on to all this, of course, but you're right. We should be able to take heart and comfort from what we saw at the weekend. But
David Moyes, please be a football genius.
Well, I would love nothing more than us to spend the next hour or so talking about how this is all up in the air. It's going to come down to the last game and then Arsenal drop points against Sunderland tonight.
And this is the thing. West Brom are a good side. City are playing tonight as well. You know, that's a tough game.
I've not even thought about Man City.
We can still get third place.
Yeah.
You know, if they lose, Arsenal can still get in and Man City can still get out, can't they? I mean, it really is all to play for. And, oh, man. That's why it means so much, Paul. That's why I'm so scared.
The fear does need to get in. But you're right. It's the... Yeah, yeah. The problem is that there's no middle ground for Liverpool, because the absence of fear, just what fills that vacuum is overconfidence. It's never... or arrogance or cockiness, you know what I mean? There just needs to be a enjoyment. There needs to be like the ability to... It's like being on the roller coaster, and you go up the hill, and it's clank, 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 and you're going up, and the pit of your stomach, and it's right there, and it's that sinking feeling. Oh my god, what am I doing? Why have I done this? And then you go over the first bit, and you go, and then you either go one of two ways. You either go and keep your eyes closed and scream for the whole way, or you put your hands up and you laugh and you enjoy the whole thing.
Oh, you see, I've always put my hands up to show that I'm not scared, but I am. Yeah. I'm like that inside. Put my hands up, I'm fine, lads.
There is definitely an element to that. I must admit, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I love roller coasters. I've been on some of the biggest ones in the world whenever I get the chance.
There's some big ones.
I've ridden a big one or two in my time. So,
I've been on
the big one plenty of times. I've ridden the big one multiple times. Specifically, go to Blackpool just to ride the big one on my own sometimes. No. But I used to. It was a proper thrill seeker in that. I used to love rides. We took me that to Thomas Land about 3 years ago, and they've got like some, it's in one of the slightly bigger theme parks as well, not one of the big ones, but anyway, they've had some, a couple of grown-up rides in there, and me and my brother-in-law went on one that's essentially like a big version of it, something you'd see like a carnival fairground kind of thing, where it kind of swings around and spins you at the same time. And I did the thing, and I always, like you do, it's always worth laughing, because you don't want to look like it's, if it's hurting you, you don't want to make people look like it's hurting you. You want to look like it's the fucking, you've got this under you. I felt really ill, like really, really ill. And I had that moment of like, this episode of Modern Family where Phil loves the rides and then he goes on and he's getting sick and he thinks he's gotten old. It says he's got the flu, but I don't think I had the flu. I'm concerned that maybe my inner ears has changed as I've gotten older. But maybe this is a perfect analogy for how the season's going. I'm okay, but give me 2 days, 3 days, once we get through all the glow from West Ham's faded a little bit. I might be able to share your fear.
I really want to be the Liverpool fan who is dead optimistic this weekend, and I just can't. I can't get the fear out of me. Mm-hmm. I really can't. Like I said before, there is no reason Liverpool don't just go and batter Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. There is no reason whatsoever. If we play the same sort of side that we played at the weekend, we play the same type of football, we'll dominate them and we'll kill them. But there's so much riding on it, I can't get it out of my head.
We'll come on to Borough in a little bit. We've also got some questions that you've left on iTunes as well, which we promised. We've actually pre-prepared them this week, which, I mean, if you enjoyed the fun of us scrambling around desperately, then I'm afraid that's gone. Fuck you, that's gone this week. We've got a comment as well from the comments on the website, because obviously we post the video version of this podcast on there with bonus material answering more of your questions at the end. So we've got some of that to come and more of your Twitter questions as well. But anyway, Chris, we survived West Ham.
We didn't just survive it, mate.
Dominated it. Owned it.
Superb.
Yeah, I meant us physically.
Are we there?
We didn't get stabbed to death, which is a good thing.
I mean, I'm not the same person that I was on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, but I have survived. Mm. Yeah, I mean, partying with the West Ham lads afterwards.
Is this the fear? Do you think the fear might be linked into the fact that you're on day two of your hangover?
Probably. Mm. Probably. Yeah. Oh, well.
Low serotonin levels.
It is what it is. There was a point where I sat in the pub last night and I had one pint and I was with six people. And I had my head in my hands above the table like this. And they went, "Are you all right?" And I went, "No, I'm not all right. I'm going home." And I just went and got the train back to Liverpool.
Wow.
Because that one pint just... I was fine before the pint, and I had the pint, and I was like, "You idiot. Why did you have one pint?"
Hair of the dog that bit me. Yeah, it again... doesn't work like that anymore. Them days are long gone. Them days of just getting up. I remember used to do them working in the pub in Sheffield and living in, and I was pissed every day. And I used to get up, and I'd get to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'd just start drinking again, because that was the best way. I think the best way is just to either not drink or all drink.
Yeah, that's it. Like I got into sleepy time, like, you know what I mean? When you have that one pint, it's just like, I just want my bed, and I want my wife, and I want to snuggle.
And I want my wife, I want my bed, I want my wife. Oh, I really hope she's listening, because you probably need some good points.
I definitely do need the good points.
Yeah,
all of the good points.
I need many good points too. But yeah,
I also had my best ever moment after West Ham, I think, in anything.
You did!
I absolutely, anyone who watches Bazinga, or on YouTube, he's absolutely massive, like 2.5 million subscribers or something. Played him at ping pong, £20 bet that I'd smash him everywhere, no problem, didn't take his money, probably should have. But I think I'd been pretty smug about us beating them 4-0 when I got pissed. And then we were playing doubles pool, and it was my shot on the black. Go and check his YouTube video out. I do the no-look shot on the black into the camera, and pop the black. 100,000 people have done that. The risk reward was there. I knew it was a risk reward thing. The risk was the risk wasn't great enough. The reward was.
You were 10 pints in. Did you really know there was a risk reward thing?
I didn't really know my name.
It is sensational. If you've not seen it, I'd never heard of the fella. So, you know, because show me, it was it's impressive. It's the kind of thing that I try all the time after a few pints, and more often than not, I fuck it up and laugh. It reminded me of a moment I had many, many years ago playing killer for money in the pub, and someone saying, and I'd one shot on the black and doing the line, and he's going, "Oh, you want to be doing this? You want to do this?" I went, I've got this. And I fucking went down bang and slide. You know what I mean? They're the moments that you never ever happen. So when they do happen, you have to save them. It was sensational. Highly recommended morning viewing. It's Mr. Bajak's no look pots. Yeah, but the game that I got a lot of credit for, not being murdered in amongst the West Ham fans. I think the fact that they were just so, I think the players put in a better showing than I maybe thought they would do, particularly in the first half. But the second we scored, from the moment we scored, they missed that chance with Andre Ayew.
But that was it. After the 15 minutes until the 44th, they did nothing.
Yeah. That was pretty much them done. And you started to see all the weight of all the shit that's been going on from all the season. They've been in reasonable form going into the game. We talked about that they had a good record against us. And it was like five. We'd not beaten them in prior to this. But kind of like Everton in some regards, like it reminded me in some respects of the Everton FA Cup semi-final, not only because that ground is a cup final ground, not a football week-in, week-out ground, but they did, I think we killed them off. And that ground, I mean, like 3-0, the ground emptied.
It was magic, was it? I think you're right. I think, you know, the first sort of 15 minutes, we had a bit of a struggle with them, and this is the thing, they didn't start like a team who played as bad as they did throughout the rest of the game. They started like a team who did have something to play for and weren't on the beach almost, and we made them look like that, actually.
Yeah.
I think, you know, from about 15 minutes to 45, we took control of the game. What I was most impressed with, though, was what we did after half-time, because I think when you watch it back, there's four chances within like 3 minutes for us after half-time.
Yeah.
And that is just like them going, lads, there's a lot of fucking riding on this. You saw how close that AU thing was. We've got to go out there and blitz this team. Like, yeah. And if we can do that against Middlesbrough, then Middlesbrough don't have a chance.
No, exactly.
You know, it was such a good performance from the Reds.
Yeah. The most encouraging thing about it was that, you're dead right, we were battering them, and they made substitutions to try and get something out the game. They brought Fuguli on, didn't they, on the right wing, who looked really good. Like,
talking to Graham from West Ham Fancy Bay about him, because that's who I was sat next to, and he was like, listen, if he's on fire, he's unplayable, but if he's playing badly, he's literally the worst player you've ever seen. Like, and he came on and he looked on fire. Like,
well, he did. He offered everything. They had no width in that first half at all, and that was a real thing that they could have exploited a bit more of, because they had a little bit of joy getting in behind once or twice. But yeah, the second they made those changes, though, what was really encouraging was that they made changes, and we went, okay, great, that actually plays into our hands. Let's just keep going. And Phil Coutinho basically decides, well, they went to four, didn't they? By all accounts at the back, is that right?
They
took Font off anyway, and in doing so, it's almost like Coutinho went, okay, great, well, I don't fear anyone else who's left in front of me, and he just started pushing on, and to see Coutinho having so much joy through the middle of the pitch when we've seen
him.
I thought Lallana would have played if we play in the.
I said this before the game, that those two could switch.
If we played a 4-4-2 diamond for the sake of argument, I put him as one of the two centre mids, essentially, because Lallana very much played the 10. There were times when we've talked about this in the past where Liverpool, it's a weird, almost a weird variation on 4-3-3 the way Klopp does it, where your two centre forwards don't play very narrow. They actually play on the edges of the left and right hand side of the 18 yard box, sort of, and you'd have your third man pushes up into the middle, kind of like the reverse of what we do with the defence.
It's the false 10.
Yeah. Lallana supposed really well, and Coutinho just got to sit deep and pull all the strings. He was wonderful, wasn't he?
He was, mate. I mean, there was times where he was just, it seems like he had a lot more space in front of him, a lot more time on the ball, didn't he? I mean, you know, sometimes it can be quite crowded when he picks the ball up on the wing, because he's got a full-back, he's got everybody else and stuff. When he picked that ball up deep in the middle of the pitch, they're asking questions of him, aren't they? Did they go out to him, in which case he's got a nice easy pass on? Or if they let him get up ahead of steam, he's gonna railroad you and go straight past you, like a little dink of the shoulder and stuff.
Well, there'd have been no preparation for Phil Coutinho in that position as well, which, you know, so maybe it's a one-off bounce factor from that to some extent.
This is the thing, it's not, because we saw him do this in 13-14.
Mm.
We saw him play exactly this position, you know, for you know, there was, I think there was that 13 game run. Did he play that throughout that? Because we had Moreno on the left wing.
It's entirely possible.
We had Sacco at left centre.
No, we didn't have Moreno at the time. We had Flanagan at left back. But the best example of it is the Arsenal game at Anfield where he bullies Jack Wilshere in the middle of the park now, because it was Sterling playing the 10 at the time. What I mean is, though, is that we've not seen evidence of that. So they'd have, and I wonder how much of it was pre-planned as well, because we talked about this very briefly post-match. If Roberto Firmino's fit, I'm not sure we play that team in that formation, which is funny, you know, isn't it really?
Well, you could be right. I think I'd hazard a guess that we would have just put out the same side, to be honest. But I could have quite easily seen Firmino play for Origi, because that, I think, works as well. I think that might even work a little bit better, to be honest. I think Origi was pretty poor first half, had a good second half. You pointed this out, I think it was last week or the week before, he seems to get better when the teams get a little bit more tired.
Yeah.
Like, his fitness is just a little bit better and he seems to find those spaces. I don't know whether he's quite slow at analysing what the defence is doing, and then he maybe grows into that game.
It could be as well. I mean, the fact is, we forget, don't we, he's 22, and, okay, 22 is not 18, but he grows into games naturally as well, I think, you know, and I think he's... The problem with being the centre-forward is you are the be-all and end-all, and I think there's something too, and we've said this about a few times, is that we too often tell our 22-year-olds that they have to be the main men for Liverpool, and it's a very rare calibre of player who's capable of doing that. And we've had the problem is with Liverpool, because we've been such a good team, you know, by and large for 40 years or whatever, that we've had loads of them, so it's very hard. We harshly judge players who aren't the best in the world at their age. But you know, when you put Divock Origi in that team, he's got Daniel Sturridge as partner, and this comes back to a lot of the stuff we've said. We say this all the time, their defence will have been shitting it about Daniel Sturridge. Because he's really good at football.
Yeah, his pace isn't there. We've said this, but he can finish, and you know, he gets that opportunity. He goes around the keeper, and there is no doubt when Daniel Sturridge, when he gets into those. If that's Benteke, you are worried that he's not going to score. It's Daniel Sturridge, and the only question mark is the defender going to catch him?
Mm-hmm.
And when you realise he's not,
yeah,
you know it's going to be 1-0.
And because he takes it on his right foot.
Right. He's absolutely class, and he's better as a two, and he always has been better as a two. And this is the thing: he's not a lone centre forward. And I still think Daniel Sturridge is going to go, but I'm really happy for him.
Yeah,
but I also think that, don't be surprised if we play two up top a lot next season against teams with three at the back, because I've been saying this for a couple of days now. That's how you beat three at the back.
Yeah,
you put two centre forwards against them. Three at the back is made to play against the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah,
you almost said this at the start of the season when Chelsea changed, didn't you? You got that one centre forward. You play the three centre backs. It's easy.
Yeah,
you play two centre forwards against three centre backs, and you're asking them a question.
Yeah,
and especially when it's three dead slow centre backs like they had.
I do wonder, because the thing is, I don't think the 4-4-2 diamond is the long term answer, because I think we've seen what its faults are. It's kind of a formation that has its day, and you can use it sporadically when you need to get something out of something. Exactly what you're saying, when a team's going to show no ambition in terms of causing you problems, but it's probably worth. It's like that thing of, if they'd had two really good wing backs, they could have absolutely fucked us. You know what I mean? Or they'd had two good, really good wingers on the pitch, because the biggest criticism of 4-4-2 diamond is just. Of course,
it's the width. It's generally speaking, it's the crossfield passes that kill you on that, because everybody rolls over to one side of the pitch to cover the space, and then there's loads on the other side. So that's where you really get killed with the diamond. But what you can do is what we did against them, and just keep them pushed back. Now it's different against a Chelsea. We're going to keep on pushing on. So you're right. It's those teams.
It's not a formation for them, is it? Yeah.
But two psychers. How many times did Kleine, and I think it was Divock or whoever was running into that right wing, Lallana, quite often, just 1-2 around their left wing back.
Yeah.
And it was so easy. He had no appetite for coming back towards the goal line.
It's just that how many times we had men in and around the box, because again, you've just naturally got two guys who want to be there and thereabouts, and they both like pulling out wide to get a bit of space, get on the ball. And the problem we've got is that at times is that in the absence of Steven Gerrard, 2008, 2009, who was making that burst and running beyond Fernando Torres time and time again. The problem is we've got too many players who still like to be the guy outside the box, whereas Daniel Sturridge and Divock Origi kind of like having the ball outside the box. They're fine with it, they enjoy it, but they also want to be the guy who sticks the ball in the back of the net. So when one of them's pulled out, well, hello, we've got another guy in the fucking box. It sounds so simple, but... It is simple.
And by the way, I'm pulling Divock on that, not passing to Daniel Sturridge.
You know what? I was trying to sort out the timeline on that in my head because I watched the 10-minute highlight because I can't work out whether it's before or after Phil Coutinho scores, because Phil Coutinho doesn't pass to Origi when he scores. Origi stood in exactly the same position as Sturridge going. And he's going even though he scores, he's still having a go at him for not passing. And I do wonder
the
whether...
the right thing was to pass. It's just that nobody decided to try and, continues 8 yards out and they're going, well, go on then, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay. Like fucking...
Yeah, fine. Eeyore, you might as well score.
Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh just...
Okay, you might as well score. Yeah, fair play, because I think he's got that one from a few weeks ago on his mind as well, when he fucks that chance up, doesn't he? When he doesn't go down, he's like, no, I'm just scoring this. And that was the thing at the time. So Luis Suarez just scores that. Well, Phil Coutinho's decided, nah, fuck, I'm just going to... He's done the five-a-side thing. He's just twatted it as hard as he can. Yeah, he's jack-hearted it. Hi, Jack. I can't work out in my head in the timeline of whether Origi is after that, because...
If
Phil can do this, I'm the centre forward, of course.
You're not Phil Coutinho.
Yeah. And it's interesting because...
Free.
Yeah, absolutely free. And someone pointed out that it changes the goal difference thing, puts us back in the driving seat in the whole Premier League goal difference thing. But
we are already.
Yeah, but like... Yeah.
It puts us level with...
They've got a game in hand over us, haven't they, though? That's
the
thing.
We're like 4 goals ahead of Arsenal or something, I think. Fuck, I've forgotten. Apologies.
Okay, do you want me to just talk?
Yeah, you just talk.
Good one. Dynamite drop in. You know what? No, me either. Let's move on. I do blame Origi.
Should have had a hat-trick. One man should have had a hat-trick.
Who?
Joel Matip. Fucking headers, did that man miss?
I said to Shai...
He had a better chance of a hat-trick than Coutinho.
Oh, mate. I turned around to Shai and said, we're going to score one of these, and we never did, which is astounding, but how many headers we won in their 18-yard box. Like, John Matter, that header down,
they hit the bar, that one.
But bounces down or up, doesn't it, and hits the bar and comes out, and like Lovren got 3, I think, maybe Emi Chan.
Matip had 4 of them. I'm not arsed, he had 4. And Jeannie Wijnaldum's volley, it was like, Adam, I can do it too.
Yeah, I'll be honest though, that's a pure swinger, that, isn't it? He's full on swung a leg at that. Like, I mean, like it's not, because you look at the way you Adam Lallana, he sets, he shapes, and it goes like back across, isn't it? The way he hits it, you just wouldn't kick a football deliberately that way at a goal.
I don't blame him.
Like, yeah, good on him. Has he never scored an away goal in the Premier League? I think the commentator might have said that.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I know he never did it for Newcastle. I don't know whether he's done it. I just can't think whether he's done it for us or not. That would have been some way to... If that is the case, if it's not, then it gives a shit. It would have been a nice goal one way or the other. Yeah, would have been... The good thing about that, and it was one of my favourite moments of the whole thing, was that...
We still scored.
We're like, no.
Oh, them West Ham are shit on second balls, aren't they?
Mate, they make us look so switched on. It's amazing. Yeah, it was a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon.
Again, I was sitting next to that Graham from West Ham Fan TV. He looked after me really well, actually. And he's going, Phil Coutinho can take a corner, can't he? And I'm like, not normally.
First man.
Second man. Video jokes.
Also first man. The video jokes. Tune in to RedmanTV.com for the video jokes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it was boss, mate. And as I said, it's a bit churlish to say, but we kind of should have won that by more than four. You know, I'm glad that we did it by the four, because I think we needed to send that message. Because this is the way that the season's been going, and this has kind of been the narrative for a few weeks now, that we've been eking things out, haven't we? We've been dragging our corpses across to the finish line, and we were looking at Spurs were just beating teams, and then Man City have just started dicking teams again. Arsenal started scoring goals, and there's us limping along. It's definitely from a film, and I can't remember what it is, but it's like limping along on one foot towards the finish line, and these guys are coming tearing up behind you. it's definitely like. Maybe like a 10-minute film or something, but that's kind of what it felt like. Like they're closing, they're breathing heavy down our necks, and we're on crutches, hobbling away. And to be able to just go, that's why if we'd have been a 6 or a 7, I wonder how that affects the mindset of other people. Hopefully, it should be a positive thing for us, because you know Arsenal must be thinking now, oh, well, they're doing.
Got Sunderland. That's what they're thinking.
Well, no, but they're thinking we've got to be perfect. Yeah. We've got to, because their mentality prior to that is Liverpool will drop points because they're not scoring goals. So there's a confidence that we'll fuck it up. Yeah. We might still fuck it up. Of course, it's perfectly in our hands to fuck it up. But taking our own personal fear away from it. If you were looking at Liverpool now, you'd be like, shit, we've got to be absolutely on our game. When you feel that you've got to be on your game and you're not a team of absolute winners, that's unnecessary pressure.
It's unnecessary pressure, and it's pointless for Middlesbrough. They don't need to do anything. You know, no one's going to sign you anyway. You've been shit all season. You're not playing for a move to another club here. You're all shit.
Mm.
You're playing for your place in the championship. No, but being serious, like, here's the thing. Liverpool needed to score goals. We scored goals. Yep. We were brilliant.
Yep.
We need to start the game fast, massively. That's the key for me. If we start like we started the second half against West Ham, we'll bulldoze them.
Yeah.
And because, again, like I talked before about appetite, they won't have the appetite for a fight for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
If we blitz them early and get them running around the field and just prove that we're the better side, they'll be like, lads, I can't really be arsed with this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, no, that's exactly what's happened, hasn't it? And it just goes to show, though, that, you know, we have been this team for a while. Liverpool need that second goal.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just not a team. We can do it. We've been so pragmatic in the last month and a half or whatever. And it's encouraging that we've got that in our locker. But it's encouraging that we've got that in our lockers, because when you do that under Benitez or Ullier, you're thinking, what a tactical masterclass, you know, that kind of stuff. But in order to be the Liverpool that we need Liverpool to be, we need to score the second goal, and that's where you could see it, the palpable relief when we got that second goal against West Ham, because they maintain the positivity of it, which is great, of saying, no, we're going to keep going because we are going to get that, that second goal, and that's helped by the fact that they're not causing you any problems if they go the other way, of course. But that's the thing about Middlesbrough, and that's the thing about the nerves and the fear and all that, and you're dead right, is that it's not just about getting that first goal, it's about going back to that foot on the throat mentality and going to destroy teams, because you've got to do that, because you're right, the second we score, if we can get a second goal at any point of that game without conceding prior to it, Middlesbrough will fall to pieces, because why wouldn't they be asked, you know? And I was encouraged. What I liked about the performance on Sunday was that it had the hallmarks of a lot of the stuff we've done lately. It wasn't 100% urgency, go, we need, you know what I mean, like all out, fucking throw everything in the kitchen sink. We were really intelligent with how we used it. We knew that we were going to get our chances, and I just think there's a confidence from having Daniel Sturridge and Divock Origi and Adam Lallana and Phil Coutinho in that side, because when you're the rest of the play, you're Milner and you're Emre Can and you're Genie Wijnaldum and all that, and you're just thinking, one of these guys is going to win this game for us. I've just got to get the ball I've just got to do my little bit, and then I'll get it to them, and that'll sort it out.
We did that by Phil Coutinho's position on the pitch. You know, too often over the last few weeks, Coutinho's been dropping deeper and deeper to get the ball. Now it's completely different when you lose a man from the front three for Phil to get the ball, because he's got two options ahead of him. When he starts somewhere and he's got three players ahead of him, it's completely different. You know, you go to three players ahead of him or two, like, and the positioning of them obviously affects it and stuff as well.
That'd be tricky.
But what for me is, we've been, like, Lucas, Chan, Wijnaldum, they've all played really well.
Yeah.
But not one of them can really thread that ball consistently through a midfield. So we end up playing this sideways passes, which we've talked long and hard about all season long. Yeah. Phil Coutinho gets the ball, and he knows where to put the ball.
You know what each of them is? Each of them's that player in five-a-side who sits deep because, basically, not because they're amazing at football, it's because I can't keep running. And they go and dominate that slot, but then just not. And there's one. You've always got that one lad who can. You've got to be really good to be able to not to be freed from not doing all the running kind of thing. But it's the Emre Can taking Lucas out, putting Emre in there. It was just smoother.
It was just so much easier for us to get the ball up to our attackers because of Phil Coutinho playing in that midfield.
And how much better was Genie Wijnaldum as well? He had a shocker last week, and he just looked again. He was free to do what he was doing, not being tasked with winning the football match for us, but being tasked for doing all the legwork for the guys who were going to win the football
match
for us.
That's when he plays much better, isn't it? Yeah. You know, when he's played with Adam Lallana, when he played with Coutinho, when he's playing a facilitator role in the side, he does much better.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Fantastic. Anyway, it just makes the football more relaxing, more enjoyable. He obviously went out and had a great old drink with the boys, and you've adopted the West Ham colours for this week as well.
Shankly red.
Worth mentioning, actually, that if you people are watching on the subscriber show, the subscriber content is sponsored by Love, Follow, Conquer, which is why if you're watching, we're wearing awesome things provided by the guys.
They are quality.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
so yeah, please get over to lovefollowconquer.com and buy some Boss stuff. Let's move on, Middlesbrough. We've talked about it by and large, but it is what it is, isn't it? It's one more push. I saw someone tweeted us about, again, we talked about making it into an occasion. I'd hope now. I mean, obviously, it will depend upon midweek results, but I can't see Arsenal not doing the business against Sunderland. I think it will come down to the final game of the season. And because it's a one-off, all-or-nothing kind of thing.
Cup final.
Exactly. It should have enough, hopefully, please, dear God, enough of the occasion about it that we're right to greet the coach. We're right to start singing 10 minutes before before the game kicks off, that kind of stuff. And hopefully we can create that big.
If you can't do it now, when are you going to do it?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Seriously.
Are you saving yourself for the fucking Champions League? Well, we're not going to get in the Champions League if we don't do this.
That's it, mate. I just need it. I need it so much. You brought the fear back to me again.
Sad. Okay, so we ask you to write reviews and leave questions in said reviews on iTunes of the podcast. And then when that happens, we take those comments and we read some of them out on the show. It's a little bit more smooth this week because I've pre-prepared thanks to Si, who sent it to me. Let's get stuck in then. Five-star content. Five-star review loads of numbers. Keep the great content. Questions. If United win the Europa League this season, what does it say about us last year? We are making progress, yes, but considering we had two finals last year, extended questions to 7, 8, 9 stands make us more likely to win trophies next season. But that's okay. That's too many. We'll do the first one. Does United winning the Europa League, is that relevant to us?
If you're asking a question about it, yeah, of course it is. I think... Does it stop us showing progression? No. Does it mean we were the better side in the league? Yes. Have they had a more successful season? Yes. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think they do. I think, you know, if United come out of this with the charity, the Community Shield, the Capital One Cup, and the Europa League,
you just can't count on the Community Shield.
I'm not counting. Look, it's two trophies, but you know, ultimately, it's three honours, isn't it? At the end of the day,
You had a ten minute tirade about that. What doesn't count?
It doesn't count. But when you are talking about a successful season,
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's fair.
You only count it when you've won other stuff.
Look, they've won two major trophies. That's what matters.
Yeah.
They will have won or could win two major trophies.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they have put their eggs in the Europa League basket, so we don't know where they'd have finished in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I think we weren't a true eighth last season, much the same way, but we have shown progression. We did a show on Ball Street yesterday. I think we're closer to winning the Premier League title than Manchester United are.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Well, look, on the course of an entire league season, we're ahead of them. Mm-hmm. They can't finish above us. I think we know how to win games better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a very good manager who tactically can play well in Europe and always has done. I think his tactics are a little bit outdated for the Premier League nowadays. I think you have to go and try and win games against the top six, because you can win one game and lose two and get the same points as Mourinho will get in three games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the way that he sets up these sides to not win. Look, they're going to spend big. Liverpool are going to spend big as well. I think that without being too big-headed and looking forward too much to next season, I just think we're a lot closer than people think we are.
Yeah.
And I think last season we were a lot closer than people think we are. You know, the gap might be, I think is it 20 points now? I think Chelsea won last night. It might be 17, I'm not sure. That's a big gap to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And probably because both teams didn't have European football,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's highlighted even more. But Klopp knows how to deal with European football. Let's not pretend he doesn't.
Yeah.
And Antonio Conte knows how to deal with European football. Liverpool will sign players. The players that we're linked with will improve us. It doesn't look like we're signing loads of squad players. It looks like we've got some real top targets. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to sign is it Andy Robertson or whatever?
Neil
Robertson. Neil Robertson's the snooker player. Is it the same?
Hang on. And I don't know.
Neil Robertson's the world number one in snooker, I think.
Hang on, Neil Robertson is the name of the... Is it the name of the lad who just started? I really don't know. The left back from Hull.
I think it's Andy.
Andy,
to be honest with you.
Go ahead.
I mean, we have a way of checking that, but we'll check.
I've checked
time.
The Premier League.
So, yeah,
17 points.
What was the fucking question I've been talking for ages?
About Man United and the Europa League and whether
it's a great season for them.
I think, yeah, that's the thing about it, is that... They will essentially have had the season that we failed to have last season if they win both those cups, because we were in that, we got to the final of both those competitions and we fluffed our lines both times. The difference is, and it's easy to say this because, I'll qualify this with, because of course Southampton have had the better of us this year. They had Southampton in the League Cup final and Zlatan Ibrahimovic fucking won it for them. And then they're going to go and have Ajax, who... By all accounts, we're only the third, third best team. Everyone was expecting Lyon to do them, and Ajax are in a phase of rebuilding with a young team and whatever, and trying to get things
just
back on track.
As well.
Well, exactly. They're trying
to put a team of kids out, you know, and then Feyenoord go and get the win.
Well, it was all Feyenoord, cool. The point is, Ajax are not a power anymore, but they are. there's a potential. But either way, what I'm driving at is...
European pedigree, though, and that counts for something.
But what I'm driving at is that not relevant European pedigree, like Sevilla got, who we got in the final, who just won the fucking competition 3 years on the bounce or whatever. So that's the difference, and that's the extenuating circumstances. There's defo an alternate universe where, look, we lost the League Cup final on penalties. You know,
Manchester City.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were 1-0 up in the Europa League final and it's a day where Divock Origi doesn't get crocked by his injury isn't as bad against Funes Mori. There's a different. This is the point. Is I don't think. I think it's unfair. It feels right to judge and to compare because they're in similar. They're in all the same positions that we were in last year. But for me, it's to be commended them winning silverware because you've got it. Winning silverware is what it's all about. But when I look at what they've done and again the money they've spent and all this kind of stuff. It's still a disappointment for Man United because
they're just as far rebuilding this season as they were last season. They've not improved really, you know, because of the Zlatan injury. Is he going to come back? That's a big injury to take at 35. I'm not writing him off. I didn't think this season he'd be as good as he was, but so I'm not going to write him off again. But you've got question marks over who's going to start up top for them.
Yeah.
Michael Carrick's getting on to 36 years old now, and Herrera's a great player, but they need someone to play alongside him. Luke Shaw's not the left back that they thought he was. I don't think he's been good enough.
Yeah.
Both Smalling and Jones are absolute fucking turds.
Yeah.
You know, Bailey's come in and Bland's been good.
Yeah.
You know, De Gea still might go again. You know, that could be a massive loss to Manchester United. So there is positions in their team, and you know what the worrying thing is?
Yeah.
They're all the same positions as ours, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, centre midfielder, an attacking forward, a centre forward, left back question marks, centre back question marks, and then maybe the goalkeeper as well. So Manchester United are, I think, further away from winning the league than we are, and I think I'm justified in saying that because I think, you know, we showed earlier on this season that we can get to the top of the Premier League table. Yeah. Manchester United haven't shown that.
No, Man United have been sixth all season, pretty much, haven't they? Like, now you're right. I think there's heart to be taken from the fact that they'll finish the season with silverware, definitely one and a half, and potentially, you know, three. that we simply didn't get, and that's a failure on Liverpool's part. But you can lose finals. It's one game of footy, you know what I mean? That's the thing. For me, I think we're, you know, it's far more commendable what we'll have done in two seasons than what they'll have done in some respects, because you don't break the world transfer record for a footballer and finish sixth in the Premier League. I don't, you know what I mean? That's the thing for me.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think, you know, Manchester United make a lot more money than us. So ultimately, I think I agree that they haven't spent it wisely because they've spent a shit ton of money. But ultimately, they earn that money and we don't.
Yeah.
So,
but my point. Yeah, no, true. But my point is that the thing is that for me, Man United winning the League Cup and the Europa League is commendable because you've got to win what you're in, blah blah blah. But I think it's more of a papering over the cracks thing for Man United, whereas I think it would have been a sign of really genuine progression for Liverpool to have those things. And look, we'll know it in a year about Man United and what happens. I wouldn't shock me to see them do what Mourinho did at Chelsea in the start of his second spell,
and
where
Real Madrid and Inter Milan and win the league in a second season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he set the bases there.
At the start of the season, Manchester United were one of the heavy favourites when Mourinho got in, and have they been anywhere near the top of the table?
Exactly. Liam from Lytham, 5 stars for the 5 times. If you could have one manager in the world to be a part of Klopp coaching staff, who would it be?
Well, that is such a bloody good question.
I'm just gonna go with an easy answer.
Are you going Rafa?
I'm going Rafa. I just have him for those games where we need to go and dog a result out. Rafa was all over that shit.
Sure, you know. Manager or coach? Was it?
Manager,
okay.
Why, who would you have if it was coach?
I was just narrowing it. I think I'd take Thomas Tuchel.
Okay, sweet. bring him back into the under the wing. Yeah, Wagner. Okay, cool. Yeah, THG3.
Diego.
Do you think Klopp is a one-dimensional manager when it comes to tactics? And do you think the low clubs know what's coming and that's why results have been disappointing against them?
No, I don't think so. I think he's proved this season that, and last season that he's played only one time, but he's played a diamond. He's played 4-3-3. He's played 4-2-3-1. Yeah. We've played three at the back. I mean, just basing it on that alone, I think that answers the question.
Yeah, I think,
he struggles in-game sometimes, yeah. But...
I wonder whether that one of the timing of that was prior to the weekend, which would make sense. I think we got a few of those comments, obviously comments from last week's in the comments section on the blog post on the website as well, and a lot of them are very much in that, like, it's a bit doom and gloom about the whole thing. But I do, whether it was by luck or by whether it was engineered, yeah, you know, it's that's the thing about the weekend's performance, is that that's a completely different approach to playing football, and it's worked, and you can say what we were doing, even though it wasn't pretty, was working prior to that point. Completely different to how we played at the start of the season. The most important thing ultimately is we've engineered wins, and I think the complaint is that plan B, in inverted commas, that people like to throw about. I think we've got plan Bs. I think people don't want a plan B. People just want us to win football matches, and plan Bs is up there with zonal marking for the easiest things to grasp for when you don't win a game of football effectively.
You've just reminded me, it's got nothing really to do with anything, but why are you marking space, lad? Space never scored. Like, classic old school coach. He's talking about fucking zonal marking.
He's saying he's got all the keys to unlock the doors, but he doesn't know which keys to use for what. Oh, yeah, it's fucking bullshit. Somebody said about Libby Garcia. Prick. Yeah, thanks for your iTunes questions. As I say, leave a review on iTunes if you want to leave 5 stars as well. That would be glorious. We'll answer some of your questions next week. We'll move on to Twitter and website, etc. questions. Do the website one first, actually. In fact, it's not a question, it is a comment. In fact, alit_LFC, going up from where did the 99 come from?
Pardon?
The 99 come from in terms of ice cream? Did you totally zone out for a second there?
Yeah.
What were you thinking about?
I was trying to work out what you were saying, Paul.
Okay. In the days of the monarchy in Italy, the king had an elite guard consisting of 99 soldiers.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Now, listen.
Subsequently, anything really special or first class was known as 99.
Yeah. Thanks for repeating me.
You said it was to do with 99p.
No, I said 99 soldiers. I said there was three things. One was a street name, where they sold a shop. It was 99 something. And then after that, about 50 minutes later, I said I remembered the other one, and it was the King's Guard. You remember? I'm gonna go. Do you know what? Fuck yous all. I'm gonna get it on Acast now.
We've
started.
Okay, Simon at Sajmon J, take four managers from the current bottom half and put them in the top four. Who would do it best and why? Is it deserved for some to get the chance? This actually, there was an interesting tweet I saw that about Marco Silva and how Hull's form since he took over would have had them 12th in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, you know, when you consider it. And yeah, he'll get absolutely no credit as a manager whatsoever.
And look, Clement as well, mate. You know what I mean? He comes from a coaching job at Bayern Munich, doesn't he? Comes in as the third manager this season at Swansea.
Yeah.
They were down. Yeah. They were fully down. Yeah. And he somehow managed to get them safe. So there's two managers there that you can talk about that have been superb. Let's not forget as well, Sam Allardyce at Crystal Palace. There's another team that was supposed to be going down this season.
Yeah.
And he's come in, he's had a hell of a season, he's been unbeaten as England manager, and he's come in and he's taken Crystal Palace out of the relegation. So
amazing. Who do you think of the managers then in the bottom half of the table, if you had to pick our manager, who would do it best? Which of the bottom half managers would do the best job in the top four?
Clement. Howe.
See, I'm not sure there's enough evidence for Clement yet, but Eddie Howe would be a good shout. It's a shame because you'd give him the Arsenal job 5 years ago, and I think he could basically pick up and do what Arsene Wenger's been doing by and large. I don't know whether he's got enough edge or experience to take them, you know, if they miss out on top four this season, whether he's got the edge that Wenger lacks, you know what I mean? That little bit of nastiness or bite or whatever that team probably needs. But I think Eddie Howe could, you're right, I think Eddie Howe could do
a good job. I actually think Bilic is a good manager as well. I think, you know, they've struggled this season, but you saw what he can do last season a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he'll get to a big club and he'll prove himself one really? Bit. I think he's got the personality to be a little bit Antonio Conte light, almost, you know, that
Simeone light.
Yeah, Simeone light type of a player. And he had a great career as well, you know, both national and international. National, what the fuck?
national and international, the same thing, yeah. But he's playing his home matches for Croatia and when he's playing his away matches for Croatia.
You know what? Again, a manager that's done really well this season, Sean Dyche.
Apparently. Okay.
Second lowest wage bill in the league.
Isn't that right? Stoke are 14th.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I said Stoke would drop off massively this season the predictor, and everyone laughed at me. Although I did have them. I think I had them as 18th.
No shouts for Shakespeare.
No.
Okay, sound. Lashan, I Huntley Chipper. What do you think the club should do with Karius? Loan? Backup? Give him another go? I think he has the potential to be our first choice.
Yeah, I think he does have the potential to be our first choice. I think it's so hard to tell when you haven't seen anyone play for 4, 5, 6 months, isn't it? That's what it comes down to. It's the opportunities, isn't it, that are going to be available to Karius. Right now, he is just the backup because Simon Mignolet, there's not many keepers in the Premier League on this season's form that you take over Simon Mignolet.
Yeah.
That's the God's honest truth.
No, it's true.
You know, he's played better than Petr Cech.
Mm-hmm.
He's made one error all season, I think.
Yeah.
One major error. I don't really count the David Luiz one, though, to be honest with you. So maybe it's arguable he's had two in, probably 30 games or something.
Yeah, no.
It's pretty good for a goalkeeper.
Like.
So it's all about opportunities. And if he's not going to get... If we're in the Europa League and he's going to be our European keeper and he's going to be our League Cup keeper and he's going to be our FA Cup keeper,
yeah,
might be worth keeping him around. But if you're going to stick with Simon Mignolet in all those competitions, maybe apart from the League Cup, then is 8 games really enough?
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. And it poses the question about Danny Ward as well. But yeah, no, I'd like to see Karius get a go. Here's the thing. It's like, if I continue the mentality that I've had, because it's the mentality that Liverpool have always had, then keep him round. And you know, and I think Jurgen Klopp's going to be more inclined to do that. We said this, I think, the other week. I think he'll keep players a season longer than maybe Liverpool have kept players in the past to give them a little bit more chance to adapt or settle or have a go. If I was being ruthless this summer, I'd still be ruthless and I'd upgrade both for shits and giggles, you know what I mean? If it was playing fantasy football, essentially. But no, I like Karius, and he's definitely got something. And the fact is, he's improved me. He's improved Mignolet's game by being there. So it stands to reason with more years under his, you know, he's a few years younger than Mignolet, that he's got every chance of overtaking Mignolet again. And if he can be better, that, you know, the only reason you get rid
is if he's shit.
Is if he's not good, or in terms of, like, you feel like he needs to play, he's at that age where he's going to have to play football. And that is the big issue with Karius, is that as a goalkeeper, you don't become a good goalkeeper by not playing football matches. You know, that you're doing is asking to become one of those keepers who either ends up having to drop down a division to get football, or you are perennially the backup goalkeeper places. And the thing is, there's a ceiling to that, because the top clubs take top goalkeepers or whatever. You look at Pepe Reina and Jerzy Dudek, who went to, you know, Pepe went to Real Madrid, and Dudek went to Real Madrid and Pepe went to Bayern Munich. And, you know, just to go and, because good backup options, Karius won't be able to reach that level unless he plays top games. But he's got time on his side, which is very much the good thing for him. One final question before we wrap up the audio version. We will continue with more questions, of course, on the website. Tobias Backlund, McManaman or Fowler, which of our best performers in the 90s would you have in the current starting 11? Now, that question leaves us open to adding others, but for the sake of simplicity, first off, who would you rather have in this team, McManaman or Fowler?
Fowler.
Fowler?
Yeah.
Okay. I go with McManaman.
That's fine.
Why Fowler?
Because he scores goals.
Okay.
Why McManaman?
Because we are desperately lacking a pacey winger who's tricky, scores goals.
And fit.
And is fit. Yeah, exactly. I think we could... I think a McManaman this season would probably have sorted us out more than maybe more than a Fowler, but you're right, Robbie Fowler. If we're talking Robbie Fowler, 30 goal a season, Robbie Fowler, then I'd love a 30 goal a season, Robbie Fowler all day.
It'd be nice to have Robbie Fowler and Daniel Sturridge up top.
Too many left footers, Chris.
Can't get enough of them further up the field. It's down at the back, you know, the left
footers right together. We'll spread that out to other best Liverpool players from the 90s in the subscriber exclusive section. Nice. I think it's quite interesting. Questions still to come then. Any links to players that have got you fizzing in your pants? How would Rafa do under FSG? Which home team's home fans would you prefer to sit with the most, and why? Marvel, DC. Stay tuned if you're watching on the redbentv.com. If you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, etc., etc., thank you very much for listening.
What are these doing?
Podbay.
Good work.
Oh yeah.
Are we on that?
Yeah. No idea. I'll check. I'm not going to check. Thanks very much for listening. As I say, rate and review, big time. We like that stuff. Leave your comments and your questions. And if you want more of the podcast, come to redmentv.com, where we answer more of your questions and we do more of this stuff in video form. Ta-ra, walk on.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.